Please turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, we want to read verses 34 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he, that is Jesus, had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This morning we studied passages that teach us about the Lord's love. We need to know what the Bible teaches about the Lord's love because we are to walk in love as he has loved us, according to Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. So to accomplish that admonition, we need to know what the Bible teaches about the Lord's love. Now this evening, we want to turn our attention to the Lord's teaching on love. This morning, we concentrated on the Lord's love. This evening, we're turning our attention to the Lord's teaching on love. And specifically, we want to concentrate on his command to love our neighbors as ourselves. I never cease to be amazed at how many times the Bible addresses this particular commandment. It's very important, and we need to be reminded of this very special commandment, I believe, on a regular basis. And we need to examine ourselves to determine if indeed we are loving our neighbors as ourselves. Wouldn't this world be a much better place if everyone was devoted to loving neighbors as self? Well, the first point we need to make is that Jesus stressed or emphasized the importance of loving our neighbors. Jesus did not deal with trivial matters. When Jesus dealt with something, it was a matter of importance. Well, Jesus stressed in the verses that we read just a moment ago the importance of loving our neighbors. On this occasion, Jesus revealed the two great commandments in the law. It was on this occasion when the various religious leaders were asking Jesus some questions that were designed to entrap him. The Sadducees, now these people did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in angels, and they did not believe in the spirit. They had confronted Jesus with a hypothetical situation, thinking that they really had him entrapped. Well, they didn't. Jesus demonstrated his great wisdom, and he answered them as only he could do. But in answering them, Jesus said, "You don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power of God." Well, it's interesting that Jesus was so wise that he could take a difficult situation and turn it into a teaching opportunity. Now, the people who were trying to entrap the Lord, I don't know if they could be reached because their hearts were basically hardened. But remember, there would usually be other people around, and Jesus could teach them. He would not only be teaching the other people around the truth, but he in his own special way would be letting them know to avoid the mistakes that were made by the religious leaders. Well, Jesus had been asked a question by the Sadducees. He answered their question very well, as only he could do. And then the Pharisees saw that the Lord had put the Sadducees to silence, so they decided to try once again to entrap the Lord. Now, notice that this was a lawyer involved. He was one of the Pharisees. Now, these people did believe in the resurrection. Unfortunately, they also held on to their human traditions, and in many cases, they considered their traditions to be more important than the actual law of Moses. And keep in mind that the law of Moses was in effect at that time. Well, this lawyer, now he was not an attorney at law like we're used to using the term. He was one who was an authority in the law of Moses. He asked Jesus a question and noticed his motive. This man was not just searching for information. He was tempting or testing or trying the Lord. Now, he asked Jesus a good question, which is the great commandment in the law. Well, Jesus identified not only the great commandment in the law, but he revealed the two great commandments in the law. He identified the commandment that we're studying as the second great commandment of all. Now, according to verse 40, the commandment that we're studying, that is to love your neighbor as yourself, is one of the two commands upon which the law and the prophets hung. Now, what Jesus was saying was, you could take all the writings of the law of Moses, you could take all the writings of the prophets, and they could be summed up in these two commandments. The first commandment was to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the first commandment summed up all the responsibilities that the Jewish people had toward God. And this commandment is actually found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's interesting that after that particular command, Moses listed a number of specific responsibilities that the Jews had toward God. So, even in the law of Moses, this one commandment summed up all the individual responsibilities that the Jews had toward God. Then what about the second commandment? It's actually found in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. That particular commandment summed up all the responsibilities that the Jews had toward their neighbors. Now, it's interesting that if you look at Leviticus 19 and the verses leading up to verse 18, I believe starting about verse 13, some specific responsibilities are given to the Jewish people concerning the ways that they were to treat their neighbors. All of those individual commandments could be summed up in that one commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. So this lawyer was tempting Jesus, looking for something that he could use against him. Since this man was a lawyer, I'm inclined to think that maybe he wanted Jesus to pick some specific commandment, and he would be ready to argue and debate with him and say, no, this commandment over here is greater. Well, Jesus gave the one great commandment that sums up all the responsibilities to God, but then he went on and gave this lawyer a little bit more than he thought he would receive. He gave him the second commandment, that is to love his neighbor as himself. You know, I thought about this. If that lawyer loved his neighbor as himself, would he have been treating the Lord that way? Just think about that. He wanted to know what the great commandment was. Well, Jesus told him, but Jesus told him about the second too. You see, he was very confident that he was fulfilling his responsibilities to God, but many times the Pharisees overlooked their responsibilities to their fellow man. Well, that's what happened on this occasion. But as we look at the New Testament writings, we see that they also show how important this commandment is to Christians. Jesus stressed the importance of loving our neighbors in his discussion with the lawyer in Matthew chapter 22. But let's look at some additional verses in the New Testament. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Do you see how the Apostle Paul included that second great commandment in his letter to the Christians in the city of Rome? And he showed that that one commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves sums up all these individual responsibilities that we have to other people. Why do we have so much problem with crime and abuse today? It's because there's a failure to obey this commandment. Notice that Paul says, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I like to refer to this commandment as a comprehensive commandment because it sums up all of our responsibilities to our fellow man. That law was in the Old Testament in Leviticus 19. Jesus stressed the importance of it. It's also found in the New Testament letters. This is not the only place. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, let's read a few verses beginning at verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I tell you, in our society today, there is a serious problem with biting and devouring one another. And I thought it very interesting that the Bible gives us a very serious warning. If you get caught up in that, beware lest you be consumed one of another. I've used this illustration many times. A number of years ago, I saw an article in the local newspaper. It was a picture of a python. That python's got no business in Florida. It doesn't belong here. But he was in the Everglades, and he attacked a smaller alligator. Now, the alligator belonged there. The Lord put him there. But the python attacked the alligator, killed it, and swallowed it. The problem was the alligator was not completely dead. And he killed the python. And the picture showed both of them in a body of water dead. Now, I know that's not very pleasant to think about. But when I saw that picture, I thought, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That's a serious warning. What will take care of that problem? Love your neighbor as yourself. I think it was just yesterday or the day before I saw a picture on the internet that sort of illustrates the same thing. A snake, it wasn't a python, but a snake swallowed, of all things, a porcupine. Well, both of them were found dead. I thought, why didn't that snake just leave that porcupine alone? Once again, I thought, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. We need to take heed to that commandment to love your neighbor as yourself in our country and in our world today. Let's look at James 2 and read verse 8. James James 2 and verse 8 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Notice how James referred to the law to love your neighbor as yourself. He referred to it as the royal law. That's another way of emphasizing just how important this commandment is. Well, Jesus, during his ministry, showed how important it is that we love our neighbors as ourselves. That principle is revealed a number of times throughout the New Testament. So this is not something that just applied to the Jewish people under the law. It's also part of the new covenant that we live under today. Well, this commandment, I think we've seen so far, is very important. Since it's so important, we need to understand it. In other words, what does it mean to love our neighbors as ourselves? Let's turn our attention to the fact that Jesus interpreted that commandment. Not only did he show how important it is, but he gave an interpretation of what it means to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Jesus did so by actually dealing with a misinterpretation of that commandment. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, let's start at verse 43. In this particular part of his sermon, Jesus was addressing some misapplications of the law of Moses. And those misapplications came from some misinterpretations. Well, let's notice how Jesus dealt with a misinterpretation of the command to love neighbors as self. Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now, is that what the law said? The law said, love your neighbor. But this is the way that many of the Jewish people had interpreted that law. That is, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. Well, the Lord dealt with that misinterpretation. But I say unto you, in other words, Jesus is laying down his law. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Jesus first pointed out the misinterpretation of the commandment to love neighbors, and then he revealed his will in verses 44 through 48. You see, loving neighbors not only applies to dear friends that are kind to us, it also applies to other people. And that's the challenging part of it. But let's consider something that Jesus said later in his sermon in chapter 7 in verse 12. We call this the golden rule. And as far as I'm concerned, Jesus was giving the greatest explanation of all of what's involved in loving your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's the Lord's explanation of what's involved in loving neighbors as self. So Jesus not only showed how important the command is to love our neighbors as ourselves, but he interpreted it. He wants us to be sure that we understand exactly what he requires. But I've pointed this out a number of times concerning the Lord's teaching, I've always loved to study the things that Jesus actually taught. But several years ago, I spent some time looking at how he taught. And I learned a lot. Jesus was a great illustrator. He made things so perfectly clear that people couldn't help but understand if they wanted to. Jesus not only interpreted what it means to love your neighbor as yourself, he illustrated it. And he illustrated it through one of his great parables. It's found in Luke chapter 10. We're all familiar with this story. This is called the parable of the Good Samaritan. I never cease to be amazed at how many people in various ways refer to one of the characters in this particular parable. And I wonder if the people who talk about him even know that he's in the Bible. I can remember my parents used to travel quite a bit, and they had a trailer that they enjoyed traveling from place to place with. And I can remember that for a while, they belonged to what's called the Good Sam Club. You know what that's short for? That's short for Good Samaritan. I find people mentioning Good Samaritan all of the time, and I wonder if they even know that this parable's in the Bible. I think that shows the far-reaching effect of this particular parable. Jesus was illustrating what is involved in loving our neighbors. Now, Jesus didn't just tell his parables for the sake of telling stories. I think some people look at his parables in that way, but if that's all we get out of his parables, then we've really missed the boat. Jesus was illustrating great spiritual lessons. And if you look very carefully, you will see that something usually happened to cause Jesus to tell the parable that you're considering. Well, something happened that led Jesus to tell this particular parable. Luke 10, let's start at verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Sounds familiar? Well, remember in Matthew 22, there was a lawyer who asked Jesus a question about the great commandment in the law, and his purpose was to tempt Jesus. Here another lawyer is doing the same thing. "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, that's a good question, but his motive was to tempt or test Jesus. "He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?'" Now, this time, Jesus answered the question in a little different way. He asked the lawyer what was his understanding of this matter. What's written in the law? How do you read the scripture? And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Now, it's interesting that this lawyer knew the answer to the question that he asked, but his motive was to tempt Jesus. Well, Jesus was showing what a hypocrite this man was. "He said unto him," that is Jesus speaking to the lawyer, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Now, the lawyer wasn't content with that. You see, Jesus, in his own way, showed what a hypocrite he was. Well, the lawyer couldn't let that go. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, he thought that he had the Lord between a rock and a hard place. He far underestimated the Lord's great wisdom. You know, I've been rough on this lawyer for a long time, but if he hadn't done what he did, we wouldn't have this great parable. So the man's hypocrisy actually presented an opportunity for Jesus to tell this great parable that's influenced so many people for this long period of time. That helps us understand why Jesus told this particular parable, and it's really an illustration of what's involved in loving our neighbors. Well, the lawyer said, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered that question. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Well, there was a man who needed some assistance. He had been robbed. He'd been stripped of his clothing. He'd been wounded. And he had been left half dead. We're introduced to two other characters, a priest and a Levite. And we learn from verses 31 and 32 that these two men did not love their neighbor as the law of Moses taught them. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. That's the priest. What about the Levite? Verse 32. "And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Here's a man who was in need. He had been attacked and abused by someone else. Two men, a priest and a Levite, came. They saw the man in need, but they did not help him. Then we're introduced to the Samaritan. Now, I can't help but think that the man in this particular parable who was abused was a Jew. There was great animosity between the Jews and the Samaritan. Now, how did the Jews, a priest and a Levite, react to the man who was abused? They just went by on the other side. Then there was a Samaritan. The Jews had no use for the Samaritans at all. How did this man react? Verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Well, the Samaritan in the parable did love his neighbor. Now, what's the main difference between the Samaritan and the priest and the Levite? Jesus pointed out that the Samaritan had compassion on the man who was abused. He demonstrated his love for his neighbor by caring for the man who was in need. We would say he first administered first aid. He took care of the man's wounds. But then, according to verse 35, he made a sacrifice so that the man would be taken care of. He took him to an inn and made provision for the man to receive additional care. By the way, he said, "If there's any additional charge, when I come back, I'll pay it." Well, that's the parable. We know why Jesus told the parable, and we see that this is a great illustration. But then Jesus applied this parable to the lawyer, the man who got the whole thing started. Verse 36, Jesus asked, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. That ended the conversation. The lawyer had no more questions. He had no more arguments. And while I have been critical of him for many years for the way that he treated the Lord, his hypocrisy did provide the Lord with the opportunity to tell this great parable. That's a favorite of many people. But by telling this parable as he did, Jesus illustrated what is involved in loving our neighbors as ourselves. Well, this morning, we examined the Lord's love. And of course, we need to follow his example. And this evening, we've examined the Lord's teaching on love. And let's be sure that we practice his instructions. I don't know about you, but when I observe the evil behavior of many people in our world today, it can become very discouraging. Well, we need to remember the words of our Savior. Love your neighbor as yourself. That pleases God. It helps us as the Lord's followers, but you just never know how it might influence someone else to think about their behavior and at least consider making a change. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that took place? People observe our behavior. We might think that we don't have any influence, but we do. And if we practice this command that Jesus gave, we'll be having a positive influence upon others who are observing our behavior.